obviously there was no national service to get in the way, so that was obviously at all finished. So you started work at Fieldings in the fitting shop, as you said. Now, can we just you can sort of just take us through those ensuing years about your experiences and promotions, etc. And I know you've already mentioned you left a couple of times and come back, but we can go into detail about that as well if you would.
Okay. It's yes. As I've already said, joining Fieldings was a bit of a culture shock in terms of the size of the equipment that I was now required to work on. But I soon got into the swing of things, and of course, at that time, Fieldings was such a great place to work. You know, the people were, you know, they were magnificent, really. I mean, so friendly, the banter. It was a joke a minute, and it was a joy to go to work, to be perfectly honest. You know, in the fitting shop there, I mean, names that come to mind, you know, the likes of Dave Gapp, Tony Barton, Mel Phelps, Vic Oldham, Bob Harding, God blimey, John Bennett. Gee whiz, you know, you think about all these things. So, as I said, January 65, I worked there. And it wasn't many months after that, of course, at that time, Wilf Gardner was in charge of the acceptance engineers, and he was kind of looked after all the guys that went out working. And he came down, or sent somebody down and asked me if I'd go up to B.S. Whiteley's up in Otley to work on, it was two platen presses, actually. I think one was a 9,000 ton platen press, the other was a 3,000 ton platen press. Would I go up there to work? Which I did, of course, and I think I was up there about 9 months altogether. It was absolutely eye-opening, you know. And it was the days before health and safety, when you were swinging off about, you know, 25 foot in the air by the belt of your overalls. You know, it was amazing. But yeah, that was a good experience. And the lead man on that job was a guy called Tony Barton, who I mentioned earlier. When you're working away with a team of guys, there's 17 of us on the job at one time. When you're working away with a team of guys, it's amazing. You become a family, I suppose. It's amazing how close you become to one another. People like who I think of now is Johnny Wargan, Noddy Bennett, you know, who's the welder. I mean, these guys are all on site. I remember I used to travel back and forth from Cheltenham with Johnny Wargan. He used to have a little MG Midget or something. I used to travel back and forth to Leeds with him. Not Leeds, to Otley. They were good memories. That was B.S. Whiteley's was my first serious away job working. And as I said, I was there for absolutely ages. And then shortly after that, I came back they asked me to go to... Dave Jones was installing a press at E&EK at Enfield. And they asked me to go up there with Dave. And then I was away with him then for, about 6 months or so up at Enfield installing the this extrusion press. It was a 2,750 ton, if I remember rightly. And that was quite an experience as well. Dave and I, we got on. We used to share a room in a pub. He and I, it was, you know, thinking back, it's amazing the things we used to do, didn't we?
An experience in itself, that.
Absolutely, yeah. It was absolutely amazing. So, and everything went from there, really. My life then revolved, much to my wife's dismay. You know, I spent a lot of time away working on various jobs, but mainly it was... There was a little bit of a culture at Fieldings in terms of, you know, people that worked on aluminium, the extrusion presses and specials, you know, like stretchers or platen presses, they were considered to be, well, I say better, that sounds a bit bloody presumptuous, but people that worked on the concrete side, slab presses and stuff like that, it was always I probably shouldn't be saying this really, but it was always considered to be perhaps not the same amount of engineering ability and skill that you needed to do the other work.
Not unlike the drawing office, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, probably was, yeah, yeah. But, yeah, so, so yes, my, yeah, my life from 65 right up until I left the fitting shop and went to work in the office, which was in about 73, was mainly spent away on various jobs and various places, yeah.
Tell me about, how did you come to go up to work in the offices, Bob?
Well, there was, as I say, about 73, Derek Tidmarsh was working for Colin Fudge in preparing instruction manuals and maintaining British Standards Library. And I think Derek, in a conversation, I think it was because we were together on the Christmas party committee, working for our good friend Brian Mintz, of course. But Derek was also a part of that committee. And I think it was in that involvement that he said to me that there was a job coming up with Colin Fudge. And so, of course, Colin Fudge is Welsh, isn't he? So, anyway, I went up and we had a chat, and Colin said, yeah, okay, you could, you know, there's a job here if you want it. So that was it. I hung my toolbox up and went to work up for Colin Fudge in the in the I don't know what it was called actually, the department, but it was an instruction manuals. Yeah.
Wonderful. So I assume the working hours were shorter. You didn't work away, and I'm sure your wife was delighted about that.
Yes, she was. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Until a couple of years later, I think it was about 19. I'm guessing now it was about 75-ish, something like that, I was invited by Barry Evans to join his team as an internal sales engineer. And, yeah, that was... So I went down to work for Barry then, preparing, quote, you know, I mean, the likes of Barry and the Clarence Hack, and there was Morgan Walton and Bill Redding and Harry... No, what was his name? Harry Fielding? Harry Fielding. Oh, man.
Harry Field.
Harry Field, yes. We're all in the sales department, but I went down to work for Barry, preparing quotations for the extrusion press side of it, which meant that I got involved with the likes of, on the tooling side, people like Service Aluminium, Roger Flory's gang, and Edwards in Enfield, who did the handling systems. So I got involved in all that stuff, collating and preparing the information for the quotation, yeah. So, and that was right up until I did that, right up until 1978-ish. But one of the abiding memories I have was that just before I left, we sold a press to Ghana to a company called, I think it was called, the guy's name was Boachi, but it went to Ghana and it was never installed. In fact, I think it might be still on the quayside in Accra now. But yeah, we sold that press to this guy, and that was my last memory really of, because I got more and more involved in that. I think at the time there was, I think Barry was probably doing other things. So, and I don't think that he thought that there was much mileage in doing this, you know. He thought that, oh, well, you know, this isn't going to happen. Let Bob go up and have a talk to these guys up in London. And as it happened, I went to London with Roger Flory, who was Service Aluminium at the time, doing the tooling. And he and I went up in this, he used to have a fad for American cars, and he had some great big American car we drove up to London in. Yeah. Anyway, we did it all, and we did the deal. They came back down to Fieldings and signed up, you know, and ordered the press. We made it. And it was the time when Lindsay German was managing director at that time. There was, in fact, there was a rather nice photograph, which I appear to have lost, of up in the offices, in Lindsay German's office, that would have been then, of Spooner, me, a guy called Fred Davidson, and then there was, who else was on there? Lindsay German, of course. And I'm just trying to think who else. No, David Rose wasn't there then. I think David Rose had perhaps left. Yeah. Anyway, those were good memories, and that was around 78 when I left Feelings for the first time.
Was that at your own request, Bob, or did you were you headhunted elsewhere, or what happened?
Well, no, it was at my own volition. I think it was a job advertised. It must again advertise in the paper, and I thought that. At the time, I was working on internal sales, and perhaps being a bit ambitious, I wanted to do something a bit more in terms of the likes that Clarence and Barry were doing. And there was a job advertised, it was another local company, Doughty's, for sales engineers, for which I applied and got the job. And that was why I left. But prior to leaving, I remember Barry was very he wasn't quite persuasive enough, but he was definitely wanting me to stay, and he was offering me various things to stay, you know, car and all sorts of other things, you know. But anyway, I decided, I'd made my mind up that I needed the change, so that was when I left.